right. It's nice to be away from the busyness of life, away from the craziness of Black Friday. You know, people starting already, I can see them already lining up outside of stores all over the Bay Area. So it's nice to be here, very relaxing atmosphere and fresh air and having fellowship. All right, so our next speaker for this workshop is Pastor Albert Yip. And tell you a couple things about him. I found out he and his wife met in the choir. So 31 years anniversary this year. And so for those of you, you know, who are single, meeting in the choir, it's a good place, singles place. Apparently, so he and his wife and their son, who they all went to Moody Bible Institute. And what's really great is he and his son co-pastor the same church back in the South Bay Bible Church. Finally got it right, all right? So, you know, it's really great to have a father and son pastoring together at a church. You know, it's nice to have that witness and testimony, you know, of serving the Lord together and, you know, serving in the church. And there, his family is here with us today. I think they're leaving tomorrow. So his wife is here, Sarah, and his son Sebastian, and daughter Samantha. Right. So if you see them, you can say hi to them. So Pastor Albert has a couple of specialties. He has a master's in counseling, and he's been working with juvenile delinquents, substance abuse cases, and then mostly family intervention. So this is an area that's, I think, particularly helpful and relevant for us as a church with families and young kids and things like that. So I'm very glad that he's here with us for Thanksgiving. Their family has never been to a Thanksgiving retreat. Wow. So anyway, thank you very much for coming, but help me welcome. Let me say a prayer before you come up. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for being with us and speaking to us. Thank you for your word and how that your word really is a double-edged sword. It works in our heart and in our minds. And we pray that your spirit would work and your word would work inside of us and help us to be encouraged where we need to be encouraged and challenged where we need to be challenged. We pray that your spirit would speak through Pastor Albert to help us understand, to help us to move in the places that you want us to move. And we pray for your help for him and your blessing on all of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
So first of all, 你们好. I know that the majority speak Chinese here. Kind of strange that I'm speaking English to a Chinese congregation. Lei Ho? Okay, so some Cantonese people here. My parents are Cantonese. So that's all about I say. I speak to my mom on the phone. I say, I don't know what words to use. Sometimes I use more on the phone. But anyway, I'm so glad that Eugene gave me a chance to speak here. I don't know why he asked me to speak here. Maybe he can't find anyone else. Say, oh, I can't find anyone for Thanksgiving, you know. Maybe I try this person. You know, this person will come regardless. So, but I'm just thankful to be here. So can I just say a prayer with you again before I start? Let's pray. Father, I'm so thankful that we all can be here and thankful in a way that this is Thanksgiving Day and we just remember, God, all the blessing that you've given to each one of us. We ask for your blessing of anointing of your Holy Spirit right now on all of us so that we can listen to your voice that transforms our life. So we commit the entire session into your hand. Cleanse me from all my sins. Use me as your instrument. I pray and ask all this in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. So you don't have to come to church for long. In fact, the first day you come to church, one of the things that you hear from church is that you say, turn your Bible. Turn your Bible to, you know, certain place, right? And we talk about the timelessness of the Bible. The Bible teaches us about God, about ourselves. It shows us how to live a spiritual life. And even we talk about, I believe it's the end time just now, right? And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, is useful for rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God, and I would say the woman of God, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's the word of God. You know, we start with the word of God. You come into the church, we hear the Bible, we talk about the Bible, and the word of God say that is so useful. So useful. If it's so useful, why aren't we reading the Bible every time? Why we read the Bible maybe on Sunday, maybe sometime when we feel better, we read the Bible. But if it's so good, why don't you read it? Right? Some of you are thinking, I think many of us here are kind of a little bit older. Yeah? Like me, you know, kind of older. And I have to take medication. And if I don't take it, I get into trouble. So I have to take my medication every day. I say, oh, I don't feel like taking my medication today. No, you can. You have to take your medication. 你们听得懂吗? Okay, then I just like, you got it. What's going on? What's this guy talking about? Okay, so if the Bible is so good, so useful, my question is, why are we not listening to the Bible? So today, we're going to look at why. There are four reasons, at least from what I'm studying now, four reasons why we're not listening to God. So I turned 55 last year. So when you are 55, there's a bucket list. You know, bucket list, I need to do this, I need to do that. So one of the things that I really wanted to do is to jump off a perfectly good plane. You know, when you jump off a plane is, you know, in trouble, you jump off, right? But the plane is pretty good, you know, and you want to jump it off. So I decided to, hey, I want to jump off a plane. So I invited two other people. I invited the guy in the middle, all right, it's me, just in case you do not know. Ever since I jumped, I changed. It's like, I changed. So the guy on my right is my son's roommate in college. And the guy on my left is my son babysitter. So you can see, I have my son babysitter on my left, and then I have my son's roommate on my right. Where's my son? My son was in seminary. He was in school. So we decided, hey, let's jump off the plane. You want to come with me? Oh, I said, okay, let's go. So we went up. So, you know, I bought the Groupon thing. You know the Groupon? You know, Groupon is like, whoa, so cheap. Let's get it. Chinese, you know. And so we say, oh, $99, you jump off a plane. Well, you know, that's pretty good deal, right? I mean, you know, I used to be in aeronautical engineering. So, you know, getting a plane up in the air, you know, it costs a lot of money. $99, why not? I pay $99. I say, okay, go, let's do it. So I say, let's jump off the plane for $99. But you know, Groupon is kind of strange, right? When you buy the Groupon and you go to the place, the guy will say, you know what, hey, you know, for $99, you go up to 8,000 feet. That's pretty good, you know, you get the jump and everything. But for $99 more, I bring you up to 14,000 feet. How about that? Then I say, oh man, why not? So I put $99, right? Okay, wow, let's go up to 14,000 feet. And then they say, you know what? We can record, we can put on video another $99. So my cheapskate $99 Groupon become $300. You know, like boom, become $300. But hey, you know, you're going to jump off the plane, you know, must as well, you know, make sure you get a picture, right? And, hey, this is going to cost you, okay? Because I have to do this for this retreat. So this illustration costs you a lot of money. And, so they say, okay, you know, I'm going to brief you on how to do it. So they're going to tie me up everywhere, right? You know, strap everything, strap up. And say, when you jump off the plane, right? You know, normally when we are afraid, what do we do? When we are afraid, what do we do? Come on. When we are afraid, let's say we are afraid, what do we do? Oh, very good. You're very spiritual. Normally when we are afraid, we kind of like curl up like a, you know, like a fetus, right? We kind of like, right? Right? When we are afraid, oh, like we say, go to the corner. Okay, I'll go to the corner. Then you go to the corner, you're like, oh, you know, you're afraid, right? But you say, when you're jumping off the plane, you cannot do that. You have to make sure your heel, oh, you hear the sound? special effect, you know. And your heel had to touch your butt. So when you jump out the plane, you have to like go up this way, and then the heel touched the butt. You know, that's not my normal position. So it's like very hard to touch my butt, you know, like, how do I do it? So I practice a little bit and say, how do I touch my butt? But you have to do that, because otherwise, if you don't do that, right, you go into a spiral and then a, you know, parachute and whatever. So I say, okay, I do that. You know, touch the butt and hold the strap and everything. I follow every single instruction. You know why? You know why, right? So the first eight, so some people are cheapskate, even cheaper than me. They're not willing to pay the $99 for 14,000. So two groups went in, right? So I was thinking, right? I was thinking in my mind, wow, you know, I'm going to pay $99, you know, plus $99 for 14,000, $99 for the video, $300. So I go in there, I expect them to serve me champagne and peanuts, right? No, no champagne, no peanuts. Nothing at all. We were like a sardine, like crammed into the plane. Like, okay, you squish in. The person squishing in. Like, everyone like squishing like that, right? So the first 8,000, the first people who jump off the 8,000, those, you know, those who cheaper than I, right? They don't want to pay. So the first group jump. They all jump down, you know, cry, wow, cry like a baby. Oh, the second one go, ah, cry like a baby. Oh, so finally the group of 8,000 feet high, they all gone. So left me, the babysitter, and my son's roommate. So we are all three in the plane, right? And so my friend, the babysitter, my son's babysitter, was the first to jump off. So you can see that he jumped off the plane. Whoa! He went off the plane, and this cost me a lot of money, $99. He jumped off the plane, and so he was like screaming like a baby, ah, I'm going down. So then come next person. And the next person obviously is me. I was second on the row. And so I was ready to go, right? I was ready to go. So you see me there, standing there, I was ready to go. And when I was ready to go, remember how when Moses, when he met with God, what happened when he came down from the mountain? Yeah, face was shining, everything, you know, that whole face changed, right? you guys laughing. You guys know what I'm talking about? You see, you guys, you know, I don't even have to speak English. You already know what I'm talking about. Okay, so my turn came up, right? So remember how Moses, when he met with God, you know, his face changes, shine, probably his hair all turned white. It happened to me too. So when I look down, look at my hair, it's all white now. You see, it was all black before, but now my hair is all white. When I look down, well, I'm gonna jump down 14,000 feet, my hair all turned white. That's why I say, you know, since last year, you know, I'm all changed now. And, so I jump off and like, boom, I went off. Man, I was, you know, it was a little bit scary, you know, but hey, you know, your bucket list is a bucket list, right? You need to do that. So I jump off the plane. You see, the plane was above me. I'm off the plane now. And, but when you're off the plane, right, the thing you ask yourself, is the parachute going to open? Is the parachute going to open? Is the parachute going to open? And I say, okay, oh, is it going to open? And finally, it opened. Thank God, praise God, I'm okay. I can boast now. I can like, whoa, look at me. I'm coming down like a parachute. I'm a professional. I have so much courage because the parachute is on now. I'm so courageous. So this guy asked me, say, hey, you want to do something crazy? I say, in my mind, I say, no, I don't want to do anything crazy. But my heart, pride, too much pride. Sure, do something crazy. I say, just do whatever you want, do something crazy. Because my mind say, no, no, I'm good now, I'm coming down, I'm happy now. But he say, you want to do something crazy? I say, my mind say no, but my heart say, oh sure, let's do it. You know what he did? He began to spin, and where's the land? The land is above the parachute. How can that be? That means my parachute is facing the ground. And that's what he did. The way he did was he spin around. The parachute is actually, you know, facing the ground. I said, what's going on? I was like scared to death. Are you going to kill me? And all this stuff. Finally, and then of course, you know, of course they are professional. Then everything was done. And I was okay. But every step, he tell me, whatever he say, I do. Whatever he say, I do. Whatever he tell me, I do. Because you know why?
My life depends on it. I do everything he say, even though I do not know the person. I did everything that the instructor say because my life depends on it. And what did God say? That this day I call heaven and earth as witness against you, that I have set before your life and death, blessing and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For what? The Lord is your life. Why aren't we listening? Because God is your life. Just like I hold on to the parachute because it's my life, God is saying, God is your life. More than anything else on this earth, God is your life. So why don't we listen to God's word? So today, in the time that we have, whatever time we have now, actually we have plenty of time because retreat, right? You can spend the rest of the day here. So what's the problem? So we're going to spend some time looking at a person called Gideon. And we're going to see why we don't listen to the word of God. What is stopping us from listening to the word of God? And you may recognize this picture. And, you know, a lot of story has been written about, you know, the Spartans and all this stuff. But really, you know where it comes from? It's the Gideon 300, right? Remember the story of Gideon and his 300 men that overpowered hundreds of thousands of his enemies? He beat the people. But yet, you know, this is one story that we see the victory of a believer of God. But that was not the case, actually, in many ways. The country of Israel listened to God, then they don't listen to God. They listen to God, and they don't listen to God. Listen to God, and they keep on going back and forth like a cycle. Keep on going and going and going. And God has to raise judges. And we're talking about Gideon today. In fact, we're talking about Gideon in the services that comes, the session that comes later on also. And we're talking about the amount of judges that came to Israel. And I have to set the context for you first. A covenant was made with Abraham. So a covenant was made with Abraham that through him, right, all the blessing of the world will come through him. It was a covenant to make by God and Abraham. So what kind of blessing are we talking about? So I want you to turn your Bible with me. Of course, this is still a Bible retreat, right? So you still have to turn to your Bible. Okay? So turn your Bible with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 6. Deuteronomy chapter 8. And if you are there, right, turn also to Judges chapter 6. All right? So these are the two places we're going to go to in terms of our study for why. What are the reasons why we stop listening to the word of God? So God and Abraham, they both agree on, and God bless Abraham that through him the blessing will come. And obviously, we knew the story that Abraham did not go into the promised land. So they were in bondage for 400 years in Egypt. And now is the time for them to go into the promised land. So let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 6 onward. 6 to verse 9. It says, observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. A good land, not just any land. You say, okay, you know, I'm going to move you to this part of the country. No, it's not just one part of the country. God said, I'm going to move you to a good land. So, how did God describe the good land? A land with streams and pools of water, with spring flowing in the valley and hills. A land with wheat and barley. So, we're talking about tremendous. It's like, you know, you walk out there, it's whole food. And this whole food is not whole wallet. You know, you go in there, you pick grapes. You go there, you pick, you know, pomegranate, oranges, barley. It says, that's what it says here. It says here, flowing valley, land of wheat and barley, vines and fig tree, pomegranate, olive oil and honey. You know, you're basically walking into whole food. You know, and all organic. And he says here, verse 9, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing. A land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. Look at that. What kind of land is that? The promised land. And that's what God promised his people. If you listen to my commandment, this is the promise I'm going to give to you. So they did. They were enslaved for 400 years. And finally, God delivered them through Christian Bale. You guys don't get it. Anyway. Oh, someone got it. Through Charleston Heston, those who grew up with me. Or someone got it now, Charleston Heston. All those who did not grow up here say, okay, Moses then. Got it? Moses, right? Okay. So finally Moses delivered them and they go to a place and to the promised land. And they got into the promised land. Such a beautiful place. Right? Honey, pomegranate, you know, all the things that Chinese love, right? And bread all over the place. There's no scarcity of bread. Barley, right? So all the good stuff, they were there. But what happened? Let's turn to Judges chapter 6 now. So let's see what happened here. Judges chapter 6. They came to the promised land. They went inside the promised land. From slavery in Egypt. Now verse 7 to 10. When the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of the Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, said. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I snatched you from the power of Egypt and from the hand of all your oppressor. I drove them from before you and gave you their land. I say to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. What happened? But you have not listen to me. They were in the promised land. They have everything that they needed. But yet, they did not listen to the one who gave them the land. So what happened? Trouble came. It was paradise, but there was paradise. There was trouble in paradise because, you know what? They choose not to obey God. You see, we all can ruin the good things. We all, really. I mean, God gave us certain things and we all can ruin it by ourselves. And the reason why the good things in the promised land was ruined, they were oppressed by the people for 7 years. The Midianites oppressed them for 7 years. They were hiding in caves. They had to hide their produce because they're afraid that the people will come and steal from them and destroy them. They were so oppressed. They're not oppressed because the enemies are stronger than them. They are not. They are not oppressed because they have so much more that people are envious of their situation. No. They were oppressed because they stopped listening to God. It says here, but you have not listened to me. And that's the reason. You can be in the best place in the world. You can live in the biggest house in this world. You can own the fastest car in the world. You know what? If we stop listening to God, there will be trouble. And that's the trouble that came to him, came to the people of Israel, because they stopped listening to God. Why do you stop listening? Sometimes you stop listening because I remember my son came into my home. See, my son doesn't live with me. So he came and said, hey, Dad, did you hear a buzz? I said, no, I don't hear any buzzing. He said, Dad, here again, hey, where's the buzzing? I said, no, I did not hear any buzzing. Then she said, oh, that's the buzzing here. It was a gift that gave to me. Someone gave a gift to me. It's to locate my keys. You know how sometimes I lose my keys and all this. That buttons to get the key. So what happened? The battery went out. So there's a slight buzzing sound. So, my son heard it. I said, no, I did not hear it. So the question is that I did not hear it because I'm old. You know, I feel like my ear is getting bad, you know. And I work in the aircraft industry for many years and my ears are getting short, right? So it's getting bad. So But here we're talking about why do we stop listening? Not because we are old. In fact, I would say that, you know, when you think that we are old, you're not old, you're just mature. Okay? You are wiser. I remember one time when I was serving in one church, all my co-workers are all mature people. Seriously. Because they have so much wisdom. You know what I call these people? You know what age you are living in? Your golden age. You guys are living in the golden age. You have so much wisdom to share with everyone. You know, so you are not stop listening because you can't hear. So what's the reason why we don't hear the word of God? Go back to the book of Deuteronomy now, chapter 8. Let's go to let's start with verse 9. So we read verse 6, right, that the land is filled with all kinds of good stuff, right? So verse 9 says, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. It's Tiffany also. Not only is whole food, it's Tiffany, right? So verse 10, when you have eaten and are satisfied, look at verse 10. Praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Then look at verse 11. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his command, his law, and his decree that I am giving you this day. So why do we stop listening to the word of God? So if we look at verse 10 and verse 11, God's word has been drowned out by the noise of our own prosperity, right? Because that's what it has, right? It says here, you have pomegranate, you have fig trees, you have olive oil, you have honey, you have bread that is, you know, overflowing, you lack nothing. You have everything in the world. That means, you know what? You lack nothing. Everything that you have, everything that you wanted, you already have them. You lack nothing. But what happened is that when we lack nothing, when we are so prosperous, we begin to stop listening to the word of God. Because you know, we have everything. Why do we need to pray, right? Because we already have everything. Is there a need to pray now? Remember what Jesus said? He said, it's really harder for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Right? Because sometimes our prosperity gives us a sense of security. That we are okay. My 401k plan should be enough for the rest of my life. My bank account is good. My kids are doing well. Everything is fine. Do I really need to hear from God? And that's what happened to them. They have all the fig trees, all the pomegranate, all the olive oil, all the bread. Well, do I really need God? They stop listening to God. They are so prosperous. And that's one of the dangers living in the Silicon Valley. We all live in the Silicon Valley. And that's one of the greatest dangers in Silicon Valley is that we are so consumed by material. I'm glad that you are here. Otherwise, you'll be like what Eugene was saying, Black Friday shopping. But he confessed to me. He did it through his phone. Sorry. See, you know, hey, you know what? That's what happened, man. Okay. So here we're talking about the noise of prosperity. Is your prosperity stopping you from listening to the word of God? Are you so wealthy and rich and so by yourself, you know, everything that you say, oh, you know, yeah, no, I come to church on Sunday, but I don't really pray because I really need to pray because I have everything. So let's continue and continue to look at the other reason. And verse 17 now. Verse 17, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 17. It says, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. Look at that. So, you know, you become wealthy, you become prosperous. I don't know how many parents are here. Remember how when your kids were born, you asked the question, you know, do you want a girl or a boy? In fact, I just got a text message, an email message from one of my members of my church. And her water bag broke today. And she have a baby. a baby boy named, so he named, they named him Josiah. So just today, just like Eugene's daughter celebrating her 16th birthday today, right? So same day. And remember the day when your kids were born, you say, it does not matter whether it's boy or girl, you know, as long as what? Exactly, right? But then after 3 months, hey, why is she not talking anymore? You know, when she become two, why is she not playing the piano? When she's 3 years old, why isn't she playing the violin? When she's 5 years old, why isn't she getting straight A? Hey, hey, keep on going and going and going, right? See, we kind of fall into the trap that we do everything. When we realize that when the baby was born, we have no control, right? We realize that, hey, this baby is born, we have just to pray that God is healthy. But once the baby is born, we have to take control again. You have to do this, you have to do everything, because I'm in control. And that's what happened. The pride came in. It says that you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced the wealth for me. And the noise of pride can drown out the word of God. Say, I can do it. I do not need to consult God. I did not ask God about it. I did not listen to God. Because I know how to deal with it. I am in control. And that's what he says here. So, what is it that is stopping you from listening to the word of God? Do you feel that you're so prosperous that you do not need God? Or do you feel that you are in complete control? That you know everything? That you have knowledge of all that need to be known in this world? So you do not really need God. The noise of pride. Turn with me to Judges 1:19 now. Judges chapter 1 verse 19. So, why are you not listening? Because maybe the noise of prosperity, maybe the noise of pride. So, Judges 1 verse 19. The Lord was with the men of Judah. They took possession of the hill country, but they were unable to drive the people from the plain because they had iron chariots. They were afraid because Israelites were farmers, you know. They do not have sophisticated weapons like the Phoenician, you know, the Palestinian. They do not have all those good stuff. They fight a war. And when they saw the iron chariots, whoa, they were so afraid. And sometimes we fail to listen to the word of God is because of our fear. We fear that perhaps if we follow the word of God, people may make fun of us. Right? How people roll their eyes, you know, they roll their eyes, oh, you are a Christian, you know, do you really do that? You know, do you really believe in that? And you do not want to be embarrassed, and you rather not do what God wants you to do. Because out of fear that you will be rejected, out of fear that maybe that you will not be recognized or respected. So there's this fear that stops you from obeying the word of God. You say, oh no, I don't want to do that. Because if I do that, what about my reputation? My reputation is so important. You fear that some people will reject you. Turn with me to Psalm 20 verse 7. Psalm 20 verse 7. Psalm 20 verse 7 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. You see, the people of Israel were so afraid of the enemies who has chariots. They were so afraid that they cannot conquer the land because they was far more superior outwardly. But God said, you can trust in chariots. You can trust, you know, in horses. But we trust in the name of the Lord our God. See, would you dare to say that? You know, in our modern society, would you dare to say that in front of your peers, in front of your classmate? Say, I'm going to trust my God. Would you dare to say that? God's word drown out by fear. And then the last reason, is found in Judges chapter 2, verse 10. Judges chapter 2, verse 10. So we begin to see, now this only applies to the Old Testament people. But then when you look at the reason, it really applies to us, right, who live in Silicon Valley. Are we affected by prosperity? Sure we are. Are we affected by our pride? I'm sure we are. Are we affected by our fear? I'm sure we are. Affected by fear that we are being rejected, that we will lose out. And I asked someone, say, you know, why don't you come back earlier? He said, I can, because the people are staying later. All the other workers are staying later. I cannot come back earlier. You know, it's like, okay, then what about your kids? And so finally, you know, the guy say, hey, I have to provide for my family. If I don't stay longer, how do I provide for my family? And the reason why the guy is seeing me is because he has a problem with his kids. All the money that he can earn, but the kids did not respect him. Because he feared that he cannot provide for the family. He keep on working. So by working, he does not see the kids at all. And he began to say, why is the kid not respecting me? Fear that he'll lose his income. And turn out that trouble comes in his family. So as you look at Judges chapter 2, verse 10. After that, the whole generation has been gathered to their father. They all died. Another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he has done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. They forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who has brought them out of Egypt. They follow and worship various gods of the people. Where were the people? Where were the people? Are you following the Bible? The people around them. They provoked the Lord to anger because they forsook him and served Baal and the Asherah. So, the other noise that we listen is to the people that are around us. The noise of people around us, our peers, our co-workers, our friends. So I do not want you to be mistaken today when we leave this place. I hope that you can listen very carefully here. It matters who surrounds us. It matters. I know you're going to say this, right? And Jesus said that. I'm praying that I'm not going to take them out of the world. No. God said, I'm not saying that, you know, you have to remove yourself completely from the people. But Jesus prayed that they will have strength while they are in this world. Jesus did not pray that to take them out of the world, but that in this world that they will have strength. So it matters who surrounds us. We talk about this in our first session. Where's the happiest place in the world? Disneyland. Very good. You guys at least found, you know, the young people are listening to me. I'm so touched. No, sometimes they're just like, so I don't know whether they are listening to me, but apparently they listen to me. So that's good. So the happiest place is in Disneyland, right? So what happened in Disneyland in the beginning of the year? Oh, remember that? There was a measles breakout. Remember that? And it spread all the way to Gilroy. Even Gilroy, you know which Gilroy? Costco. Costco Gilroy has the case also. So it spread. So look at this, right? And then what happened? They began to quarantine people, right? Say, okay, now they begin to check who has been to Disneyland, and they begin to find those people, right? Why? Why do they have to do that? To stop the infection from moving further and further and further away. So how do you protect yourself? During the measles breakout, what do you do? What do you do? Yeah, you stay home, you go someplace, there's no measles, right? So, here's the same thing here. It matters who surrounds us, it matters. You know, in Disneyland, people are walking all the places. But you know what? If there's a measles breakout, you do not want to be in the place. Because it matters. You might be infected. Because we become more like the people we spend the most time with. I'm not talking about just physical infection, right? Medical infection. I'm talking about the influence that people give to you. You know, I understand that we work in the Bay Area. We live in the Bay Area. We go to school in the Bay Area. It's not the most friendly place for Christians. It's not the most friendly place. But the question is that if it's not the most friendly place in the world, we all know that, but are they influencing you? Are they affecting your spiritual life? And it's because of them that you stop going to church. Because of them, you stop listening to the Word of God. Because when the more time we spend with people who have influence on you, the more you become like them. You know, it's very dangerous to think that our faith is stronger than other people. You say, oh, I'm strong. I'm such a strong Christian. I can handle the temptation. And many times we think like that. We think that we, you know, that is part of pride, actually. We think that we are strong enough. But what did Paul say? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. So if you want to memorize this verse, you know, 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. It says, flee the evil desire of youth and pursue righteousness. Flee. You know, we think that we can handle it. And many times, we think that we have the strength. We are strong. Our faith is strong. Most of the time, it's really self-righteousness. We have to understand who we are. If we spend enough time in a place that can corrupt you, guess what? You will be corrupted. If you spend enough time. You're just going to watch a movie, right? If they use swear language all the time, the entire movie, you know what? I want to tell you this. The fact is that you are thinking of the swear words also after that. Because it has affected you. The more you spend on it, the more it will affect you. Because it's so much easier to do wrong than do what is right. Is it easier for a person who is infected with a disease and affect someone who is healthy? Obviously. Is it a healthy person easier to infect, to cure a sick person? Can't do it, right? If a person has infection, it's so much easier for you to be, if it's a contagious disease, it's so much easier to be affected by it. And so much easier to do what is wrong. And the other thing that Eugene might say later is that, you know, besides, you know, doing counseling, I love to ride mountain biking. It takes me 1 hour to climb up a mountain. But it only takes me about 5 to 10 minutes to come down a mountain. That's it. So much easier to come down than to climb up slowly, slowly, slowly. It's so much easier to fall away from God than to do what is right. And especially if you surround yourself with people that say, hey, you don't have to do it. Why do you have to do it? We have been affected by it to do what is right. But Jesus in John 17 say, my prayer is that you take them out. It's not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. That God protect you from the evil one. So very quickly, why do we stop listening to the Word of God? Because the Word of God has been drowned by prosperity. Think about it. When did you really have a sincere prayer before God? When was the time that you truly prayed to God, say, God, I am at your mercy. When was the last time that you come with a contrite, repentant heart before God? When was the last time? Think about it. Was it just now? Was it a year ago? When was the last time you bowed before God? That you need Him. Because there's no need, because you have everything. You lack nothing, like the scriptures say. You lack nothing. Or is it because by the noise of your pride that you feel that, hey, I achieved this all through my brain, my hands, and my feet. I did it all by myself. Or are you so afraid to obey God, to listen to God, because for fear for your own safety, for your own security? Or are you very much affected by the people around you? Is it one? Is it two? Is it three? Is it four? Or is it all the above? That you've been affected by all of them. And that's why we stop listening to God. And that's what happened to the people. They stopped listening to the word of God. And that's where the trouble comes. And why did the trouble come? I want you to go back to Judges chapter 6 again. Judges chapter 6, verse 9. Judges chapter 6, verse 9. You see, when we stop listening to the word of God, whether it's because of our prosperity, whether it's because of our pride, whether it's because of our fear, whether it's the people around us. See, when we stop listening to the word of God, something happened to us. So in verse 9, he says, I snatched you from the power of Egypt. I mean, they were brought out of Egypt slavery. And from the hand of all your oppressor. And while they are traveling in the wilderness, you know, God protected them. I drove them from before you and gave you their land. And I say to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. But you have not listened to me. So they stop. What did they forget when they stop listening to the word of God? So in verse 9, when they stop listening to the word of God, they forget God and His blessing. Verse 9 says, you forgot. You forgot that I snatched you out from the power of Egypt. You forgot that you were in slavery. I brought you out from slavery. Remember the time when you're crying out to me and I saved you. But you have forgotten that. And then he continued to say that, I drove them from the land before you and gave you. I gave you this land. So they forgot his deliverance. That they were delivered from our slavery. And God gave them the promised land that flowed with milk and honey. And they forgot God's provision. You see, when we stop listening to God, we forgot that we were once lost sinners. And that's why when God says, when you come to me with a contrite and broken heart. And that's what God said. Because why did God say that? Because we realized that we were delivered from our sin. I'm standing here today not because I'm better than you. Eugene is so much better than me. You know, he writes so many articles. So much better than me. But I'm standing here not because I'm better. I'm standing here because I'm forgiven by God. I'm forgiven by my wife. My wife is back there. If my wife don't forgive me, I cannot stand here also. But more important, God has forgiven me. But if we don't go back to God, we forget that, hey, I was a sinner, broken, and you saved me. And also we forget His provision, right? Many of you probably are successful people here. Probably. That's why you can spend money and come to the retreat. Is it true? Or is it free here? I don't know. I have no idea. I'm not from this church. So, you probably are successful, right? You're pretty successful, right? But can I just say something that you, please don't get angry with me. Or don't throw, you know, salad eggs at me in the kitchen. Or a slap of turkey on my face. You are here today because God gave you hands that you can use. You are here because God gave you a brain to process information to be whoever you are today. Whatever that you have achieved in life, God has given to you. Think about it. Back to when your first child was born, what were you asking? I don't care whether it's a boy or girl, as long as he or she is healthy, right? You know, at that time you know that it comes from God. You know what? That thing does not change. It does not change because once you become a baby and you become a man or woman, it changed. No, same thing. You still come from God. Each one of you. God specially crafted every one of you. None of you are a mistake. None of you are an accident. None of you. Every one of you are created by God in a very special way. And you are here today because of God. But if we stop looking at God, we stop meditating on God, we stop looking at His Word and listening to Him, we will forget that all the things that we have comes from Him. His provision. God gave us everything. But we will not know that. In fact, we will forget that, like the Israelites, they forgot about it. When we stop going back to the Word of God. And how important is the Word of God? It's very important. You see, if we stop and forgot about His deliverance, what happened to us? We forget about His grace. And when we forget about His grace, we become judgmental people. Right? We are saved through grace. None of us deserve that. I am saved through grace. I'm not saved because I'm better. I'm saved through grace. And when we realize that, we become humble. But if we do not remember the grace of God, we become judgmental. We say, hey, why are you doing that? Why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? How come you're behaving like that? You know how judgmental we are? And we become that when we lose sight of the grace of God. His deliverance. And when we lose sight of His provision, and today's Thanksgiving Day, right? Amazing, today's Thanksgiving Day. And when we lose sight of God, we lose sight of His provision, we forgot about His provision, and we become ungrateful people. You know, I'm sure that you'll complain about the food afterwards. Oh, the food, you know. But imagine if you have no food to eat. It's kind of hard to imagine for you, right? You know how your parents tell you, oh, you know what? I walk in the snow for 6 miles, and not only 6 miles without shoe. You cannot imagine that, right? Because you always have Nike on your feet. You know, you can never imagine that. But if you forget about God, that God gave you all those things, say, I gave you the land. God said, I gave you this land. But he forgot about it. And they become ungrateful. And when we become ungrateful, everything that we have, even the good things, become bad things. And that's what happened. Ungratefulness. God wants us to be grateful. God wants us to be humble. And what did God call Moses? Moses is the most humble man on earth. Humility is what God looks at. A broken and contrite heart. But if we stop looking at God, His deliverance, His provision, we become very ungrateful. Even today, Thanksgiving, Some of you may say, oh, you know, start complaining again. But I want to encourage all of us today. Whatever we have achieved in this life is from God. And whatever sins that we have done and that has been taken away is taken away by the grace of God. And if we can remember that, it will go a long way in our life of walking the Word of God. And we all want to live a righteous life. Don't we? We all want to live a righteous life. And righteous life comes by having communion with our God. It is good. That's what it says in Timothy. The Word of God is useful. Useful for rebuking, useful for correcting, and helping us to do what is right. So what is stopping you? Is it your prosperity? Is it your pride? Is it your fear? Or is it the people that surround you? Think about it. And I want to give you a time to think about what is stopping you from moving ahead, taking a step of faith, and committing your life to God. Are those things stopping you? Is your prosperity stopping you? Is your pride? Is your fear? Is the people around you stopping you? What are those things that is stopping you from accepting Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Let's pray. Father, we confess before you that there are so many things around us that can distract us. So many things that we want in life that can distract us. I pray that your Holy Spirit will speak to all of us now. That your Holy Spirit will instill in us to acknowledge that there is one God, a God who loves us so much that He sent His only Son to die for each one of us. And that by believing in Him, we will have eternal life because of our sins that's been taken away through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray for every one of us here to come to that understanding. That when they leave this place happy and joyful. Not because of the things that they have achieved, but because you have saved them. And you have provided for them. And you are the one that have sustained them through all these years. So again, I commit every single member in this room, into your hand. For I pray and ask all this in Jesus' most precious and most holy name. Amen.